When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sissoko finally waited. Eriksen low. Great ball into the middle. What a save by Heaton. Tonight's Davinson Sanchez, Lucas Moura. And belted into the net. Brilliant goal. On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs. Lucas Moura clips it. Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier! What a finish for 3-2 from Serge Aurier!
First time here to Son. Kane, good area for Spurs, and Kane's not afraid to shoot! Wow, what a goal, Harry Kane! That is exceptional! Try and place it. Wonderfully taken by Eric Lamella. Never afraid to take on a shot, and with good reason.
Terry in the Burnley back line, and Son breaks forward. Oh, wow, what a run! Heung-min Son, from inside his own half, has scored one of the best goals of his Spurs career.
Yo, people, welcome back to another episode of the New Spurs Order. I'm joining you live from Nigeria. Listen, the lads, we had a sort of busy week, so you're stuck with only two of us today. But I guess it's a transatlantic pod tonight, isn't it? We got someone from an African country. We got someone from United States of America. So, Asa, how are you doing? You right?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm liking this idea. Just very slowly take the NSL away from Europe. You know, we put it in America, we put it in Nigeria. I like this idea. It works out for me.
Yeah, man. But I mean, to be honest, we're putting the rest of the usual suspects to shame, because I mean, this is their group as well. This is their terrain. Like, this is their playground as well. So, poor form from them. They're the ones in the UK. They're the ones who should be on here. But it's fine, man. Listen, two man deep.
But you know what? It works. Because you and I are the ones for the last 2 months who have been talking, top four is coming. Don't worry about it. Top four is coming. And now we are on the precipice. And we get to be the ones who say, top four coming.
Mm-hmm. We coming. Word to Fouad. We coming. Anyway, before we get into it, let's do some usual housekeeping as well. So, listen, if you like our voices, if you like what we have to say, not just us, but the rest of the other club pods as well, make sure you're following Touchline Fracker or Frackers, however you want to pronounce it, on YouTube. We've got the new YouTube channel as well, so go check that out. Also, make sure to follow us on the Twitter. Lots of banter, lots of agendas, lots of debate-worthy topics that are flung in the main Twitter account as well, or flung on the main Twitter account as well. So make sure to follow us on there. Make sure you're following us on Instagram as well. And yeah, just make sure you follow the NSO as well. Yeah, that's not just exclusive to Touchline. Make sure you follow the New Spurs Order on Instagram and Twitter. It's one word. New Spurs Order. It's not really hard to fuck up. But excuse my French, let's get into this, because I'm very aggressive. I'm positively aggressive, because Asa, you took your shit. You spoke your shit a couple weeks back, and we said, you know what, chill. Let's get the job done first. And I believed in my heart. I just didn't want you saying it out there. I didn't want any reason for people to come back to us and clip that shit up. But bro, you gotta be happy right now, man. Talk to me. How are you feeling?
So it's a funny thing. It's prior, you know, for weeks, for months, basically from like, I want to say when Arsenal lost that first game of their like three game losing streak, I was like, top four is coming. No, they are going to bottle this. They are not ready for this. They're not built for this. You know, one game a week FC, not made for this. And now, as we are sitting here, just needing a draw. All I can think to myself is, wouldn't that be the most Spursy shit ever to lose this game? And so how am I actually feeling? I'm actually feeling like we're going to get a win. Actually feeling like we're going to get a win. It's going to be very calm, very comfortable. But I said that going into last week, and it was anything but. So, you know, I feel good. I feel excited. But I am also I'm also ready to do the job. We just got to do the job. That's where I'm at right now. Like I'm not even excited. We already did the excitement part, right? Watching Newcastle make Arsenal cry, which was brilliant, by the way. I got to tell you, watching Newcastle just dismantle Arsenal was phenomenal. Way better than any win Spurs have had this year. Was watching Arsenal fans, specifically I want to shout out my good friend and colleague, Dan Cougs. Right now, he was the best part of the season. Dan Cougs was the best part of the season for me, was the group chat and the Twitter just slowly realizing what was happening, and then that own goal, and then it just, oh. So how am I feeling? Do the job. That's how I'm feeling. Then we can start talking about, okay, how are we actually going to back Conte? Are we actually going to bring in a third midfielder, a fifth defender, so on and so forth? But for real though,
do the job.
Just do the job. Just, you know, yeah. It's Norwich. Like yeah. I hate to quote such a terrible moment in my own fandom's history, but lads, it's Norwich.
You know what? Listen, like you said, we can't take this fixture for granted, but we also have to acknowledge that we're playing the worst side in the league. I think you've given us our pod title right there. Do the job. Do the job. Before we talk about the summer, before we talk about Kane's new contract or whether he's staying or going, defender this, wing back that, do the fucking job. But listen, let's not put too much pressure on this team yet on this pod. Let's actually talk about the positives, because 2.5 weeks ago, yeah, a lot of people were looking at Spurs sideways. Yeah, we had come off a draw from Brentford. I think we were 2 points, correct me if I'm wrong, we were 2 points behind Arsenal. And was it four were points? No, it was points then? It was two points. And then it was 2 points. And then we were heading to Liverpool. And everyone was saying, yeah, Spurs will lose to Liverpool. And then I heard some Arsenal fans saying, yeah, they'll come to our ground and get a point, man. But since that game, great point at Anfield. That should have been 3 points. Emphatic win against Arsenal, clean sheet. And then a resilient win against Norwich, clean sheet as well. So the boys, like, how I want you to speak to me about the improvement that we've seen in recent weeks. Do you think that there's been an improvement, or do you think it's just been much of what we've seen in the past 2 months, and that sort of Brighton and Brentford results were just a blip?
So I sort of go back to that Everton game, right? That 5-0 Everton game, as the moment when I saw this team sort of turn a corner. You know, like there had been that Leeds win, and Man City I didn't think was a real win, because I've seen this team for now 3 years be able to beat teams that want the ball, right? Like teams that want the ball, Spurs have been able to mess up since Josie showed up. So that Man City win wasn't it, and Leeds is abject. But that Everton win, that 5-0, I remember thinking to myself, this is something different. The Brighton loss was a game that I think if you play that game 100 times, I think Spurs come out with a point 60% of it. It happens.
I think more than 60%, to be honest. I think more than 60%.
That's fine. Yeah, I think we were the better team. And look, it happens. You know, you play like the game.
I think they were the better team, but I don't think they created much. But go on. Sorry.
But what I'm saying, like when I say the better team, I mean the team that is more likely to do something good, right? Man City is the better team when they play Spurs. I'm not, but we are more likely to do stuff because of the way that we're built and the way that we're set up, and also the fact that Pep has and Klopp, you know, it's the same sort of thing with Liverpool and Man City. Both of them are so unable to respect a defense and counter a defense and counter setup that they play into it. It's the same thing that happened with Atletico Madrid last year, right? Like there's so much disrespect towards Simeone's plan that people don't respect it. And Klopp said it himself, he doesn't respect it. And Pep, you know, you've seen, he's done it himself, but you know, they don't respect it. But that Everton game and everything that happened since, I felt like it's just been a matter of time, because Arteta's team and Arsenal's team, I want this to be a Spurs podcast, not a Spurs and Arsenal podcast, but you can't talk about one without the other, because that's the whole game and has been for weeks. It's which of these two teams is going to be the fourth team, because as horrendously sad as Chelsea is, they're clear. They're good. You know, they're funny. Their inability to score goals is hilarious to me. You know, I need to get my Americans out of there so I can just go back to hating them full cloth and not watching them. I watched the full game of Chelsea yesterday. Well, 60-some minutes. And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. So get Christian, please find somewhere else. Maybe Dortmund, Bayern. That'd be great.
Bayern. You're right.
I'm just saying. Just saying.
You're right.
Yeah, but fucking right. I mean, like a London to Munich thing. Like, we'll take Lewandowski, they can have Christian.
What a horrible trade.
But anyways, like, the point is that Arsenal and Spurs, the way that they're built, the way that they're coached, the way that they have Babs, don't do that to me. I've said on this podcast, I've said on
don't my get sidetracked. Don't get sidetracked. But you put something out there, Asa. Right, you said something about Pulisic, and he's a bum around here. But hey,
you all just hate Americans. I get it. But the thing is with Spurs and Arsenal, and the way that this has all been set up, and the way that this has been building, is that Spurs are the better team, and we've talked about how Spurs have been disappointing for the last really 3 years, right? Since that Champions League final. And I would say most of that Premier League campaign anyways, but since the Champions League final, it's been disappointing. But the reason it's been disappointing is because we have actual players, right? Like you look at it, Kane, Son, right now, Bentancur and Kulusevski, and you go through it and you say, you know what? These are guys who can play. Lloris, he can play. Arsenal don't have anybody who can play. I mean, you sit here right now. Who is Arsenal's best player?
I think Bukayo Saka and Thomas Partey. Two best players.
Partey's hurt. And Saka, I mean, does Saka start for Spurs? Does he start over Kulusevski? Are you sure?
Wait. I didn't know you were going to say over Spurs. I thought you said, was he going to start for most teams? Listen, I think Bukayo Saka is a better player than Kulusevski. But what I will say on that is Kulusevski, he's only been in this league 4 months. And you look at the impact he's made. This, my opinion, may not be the same next season if he continues at this trajectory. Yeah, he's only, what, like 19 months older than Bukayo Saka? Like, I think it's a very valid conversation to have. I think Bukayo Saka, I think the things that Kulusevski does well, Bukayo Saka can't do as well. And I think that the things that Bukayo Saka does really well, I don't think Kulusevski can do as well.
Well, they're different players. Well,
it's a fair debate. It's a fair debate to have. I still think Bukayo Saka, I would edge it. I would give it to Saka. But
that's fine. But the point is that for Spurs' best players, do they start for Arsenal? Yes. Yes, they do. And the fact that, like, and that's my point, is that, like, the levels to this shit is just different. It's just different. And our manager is better. Our keeper is better. I need to get something off my chest that's been going on for like 8 months. Aaron Ramsdale is not a world-class keeper. I don't want to hear it.
He's rubbish. He's rubbish.
He's not. Look, he is fine. Is he better than the kid over at Burnley? No. Is he better than Hugo Lloris? No. Is he better than David De Gea? Maybe. I don't know. But the point is that this guy was talked up. Oh, is he the best keeper in the Premier? Is he better than Jan Oblak at his best? Like, out of here. No, he was not. And he is not. And he's not that good. But anyways, the point is, and really, like, there was a whole lot of ranting about how terrible Arsenal is. To say, like, going over the last couple months and going to where we are now, and this run that we've been on since we went to Liverpool, these last three games, I think it goes back to what Harry Kane said before the Brighton game, right? He said there were 7 cup finals, and then there were a lot of jokes about Spurs and cup finals. But the fact is that you just need your best players to play. And we had, you know, Kulusevski wasn't there for Burnley because of some illness, and, you know, got the job done, whatever. We're down Romero. I want to give actually a shout out to Davinson Sanchez.
I wanted to do it. Like, I wanted to look at our form, like, across the board. We'll get onto the Burnley game specifically. But yeah, go on.
But anyways, like, the point is that, like, we have one game now, right? And so regardless of the 37 that happened before, it's very simple. You go out, you win the game. And I don't want to be playing for a draw, right? I don't want to be playing for a draw. All right, Babs, come see about me, Babs. Check from the comments section.
The American accent, I swear to God, it's just.
I'm gonna give you some interesting things about American accents. So obviously my accent is not the same as like a Southern accent, or a Northeastern accent like you'll hear from Pulisic. My accent is what everybody thinks is the American accent. It's the Upper Midwest. People try to have my accent. So when Bab says I sound like a Disney Channel kid, it's because those kids are copying my accent, not me. That's actually, you can look that up.
Can I give the listeners some context? So the reason why we're laughing is because Babs of Chessy Hour has commented, Asa talks exactly how those Disney Channel kids spoke. This is nostalgic. You know, let's get back on the football. So back to the question I asked you. I think what you saw from Spurs, where we dropped points to Brighton and we drew to Brentford, was a blip. I thought that was the minority of what we've seen the past three months on the Spurs. But of course, at that point in time, a lot of our fans expectedly and through no fault of their own, because of the amount of times we've been burnt in the past, was thinking, oh, fuck, here we go again. Spurs are going to do this, or Spurs are going to do that. I think we've seen enough to finally start putting some trust in what we're viewing week in, week out. I think Antonio Conte, he's given us the ability to start trusting this team. I'm not saying you have to trust him 100%, but he's given us the ability to start trusting this team. I think what he's been able to do with some of these players, those players in turn are also giving us trust. Romero is giving me trust. I've never lost trust in Harry Kane. I've never lost trust in Son. Bentancur's giving me trust. Kulusevski's giving me trust. Yeah, like, players have stepped up recently. Eric Dier has given me some trust this season.
That's the craziest thing that has happened under Conte is that Eric Dier and Ben Davis are positives for me now.
Yeah, and
I used to hate them.
And this is what I'm saying. I'm like, we'll speak on this when we get to Norwich game, but I'm like, that is why I did not let my opinion of this team or my opinion on the top four race waver because of those two results against Brighton and Brentford. Because we've seen, for the most part, in the last 3 months, a really consistent team. We've seen a team who have won 7 of their last 10 Premier League matches. We've seen a team who have conceded 5 goals in their last 9 Premier League matches. Yeah. So we have to look at the bigger picture of this team. And I think that's why I wanted us to give this team some credit. Yeah. Of course, the job is not done yet. We'll speak on Norwich, but we have to give this team credit for shutting up a lot of critics, for starters, shutting up a hell of a lot of critics who are ready to nail us with same old Spurs, rare tear, blah, 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 lose to Liverpool and it's over, this, that, and the third. So, first of all, fuck you to the critics. That's one. And second of all, big up to these players for digging deep and getting big results as well. People want to talk about, oh, where were they in finals and stuff. These are big games. Arsenal, North London Derby is a big game. Following up against Burnley, that's a big game. Going to Anfield and getting a point, that's a big game. And Spurs have stood up 3 times, but no one wants to acknowledge that.
No, and they're not going to because of same old Spurs and Spursy this and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? That's fine. The talk is banter, right? It's just people talking, because the fact of the matter is that Davison Sanchez, Eric Dyer, and Ben Davis went out and shut down Liverpool. That three shut down Liverpool.
Romero.
Oh, Romero was there. Sorry. Romero, yeah. but Davis.
Sanchez came on though. Yeah, I think. Right. Yeah.
Davis, Dyer, and Sessegnon, and that's the three, you know, on the left side. You know, and Emerson, like Liverpool, this high flying score on everybody, drop 10 on your head side. They needed a lucky deflection to get a goal, right? And Klopp was chatting, oh, the way they play, I would never play. You need to. You're not ready for it. So Arsenal and Spurs, like, it's not the same thing. But like you said, like, the way that Spurs have been playing for the last 10 games, 9 games, it's just a different level. It's the level of a team that is capable of being a top four side, right? So am I going to sit here, you know, and people know, like, I've been on this podcast and I've talked and I've said outlandish things that have maybe come true. Am I going to sit here and say that this side can challenge for top two, top one, you know, win next year? No, like that's not what this is, but they don't need to. They just need to be better than Arsenal and Manchester United, right? To be top four. And who knows what the hell Chelsea's going to do. Shout out Babs. Let me know when you guys are allowed to bring in players again. You want to talk shit. But
karma, Lisa, karma. Yeah. Let's walk before we can run. Karma.
No, but what I'm saying is that this team, the way that they're playing, if this team doesn't have to play does have to play once a week, right? If they have had one game a week basically since the first week of March, right? And there's no question that the top 11, the top 12, the top 13, whatever you want to call it, because we've been down Skip and we've been down Romero. So the top 13, maybe top 14, if you want to include Lucas Moura, because he started.
He's crap.
He's crap. But what I'm saying, the top 14 of this team is as good as anybody. We've seen that. The problem is that.
I can't lie. I don't think I agree with that. I'm sorry. I think I still think this team's poor. I'm so sorry.
What I'm saying is under Conte, we've seen it. 3 points against Man City, 1 point against Liverpool. Right.
Yeah. But we've also seen and this is the problem with Spurs. We've also seen them have like scary moments as well. We've seen that happen. This team is still imperfect in a lot of ways. But yeah. I think I get the point you're making. I think we've been finally able to see a cohesive team under Antonio Conte. And the most important thing is we've been able to see a consistent team. Now, of course, like you mentioned, the one game a week definitely helps. Yeah, yep. Not having to play midweek in Europe and not having any other distractions, it helps. It helps. And another thing that helps is having like two elite players that you can sort of mold your team around. Maybe even three if you want to chuck Romero in there as well. But yeah, like it helps to have. It helps to have game changers who can just bail you out at a moment's notice. And he's built around that. He's basically compensated for the weaker parts of our team by maximizing the strongest parts of our team and protecting the weakest parts of our team and putting them in a system where they can work and be functional. So I think all credit due to Conte. And listen, we know the squad's not good. We know the squad needs major investment in the summer. We know probably 60%, in fact, 70% of this team are upgradable and should really be upgraded if Spurs want to move forward. But they've done relatively well to bounce back and to answer to critics. So props to them. And now don't rest on your laurels. See out the job. And I don't want us to stick too much on this as well, but I want us to quickly gloss over Burnley, because that Burnley game, yeah. Obviously, beating Arsenal, playing late on Thursday. We know Conte's apparent record. Well, I say apparent. Conte's record of playing Thursday, Sunday. A lot of people are anticipating Spurs are going to drop points because that's what Spurs do. And again, I can't really fault them for thinking that, because we literally saw that happen against Man City. We beat Man City on the weekend, and then we played Burnley midweek, and we lost. But I don't know about you, I was not expecting a fluid performance. I wasn't expecting a swashbuckling performance because of the time in which we had to play them. But I 1,000% expected Spurs to win. I didn't even think of anything but a win. And on the day, yeah, the performance wasn't great, but it wasn't exactly horrible. It wasn't exactly horrible. And we did more than enough to put at least 3 goals past them, if not for Nick Pope. So what was your takeaway from that Burnley game?
It was weird. I mean, I'm with you, right? Like, I'm with you that Nick Pope aside, that's a much different game. You know, it was a penalty was a penalty. Kane did a good job to put it away. But the fact of the matter is that game, it was a good example of why Conte has given this team a little bit more than just his tactics. There's like a belief now. And Spurs in the past, if you know, not under Conte, I would have said, you know, they're going to lose. Like, that's just what they do. But under Conte and in that game, they did the job, right? Once they got that goal, I think that you can put it, you know, a little bit different. But did Burnley have a good chance?
They did. They had one with Kone, Maxwell Kone.
Right. Big play for
Lloris. But that was it. One or two threatening headers moments, and they hit the woodwork from distance with Ashley Barnes. Listen, right. they dug in deep, and they did well to get back into the game, but Spurs, in my opinion, were in control for a fair share of that, and could have put the game to bed at any point.
Yeah, it was one of those things where even when they were threatening, right, like they had threatening movements or they had that the hit the woodwork, blah blah blah. I wasn't concerned in the way that I normally would have been, the way that I'm going to be on Sunday, right? I'm going to be concerned on Sunday. There's nothing that I can do about. But I wasn't really concerned against Burnley because I felt like even if they did get a goal, Spurs would just go get one back.
Can we talk about the penalty as well? Because a lot of people rightly looking at that and saying that's a jammy decision. And I think it kind of is jammy when you look at the context of the penalty. But what isn't jammy and what's been made abundantly clear is the rules.
The rule's the rule. Like, I don't know how you can get... Look, get mad at the rule book. Get mad at the rule book. Yeah. He had his arm out. His arm was out. Ball hit arm.
It's a penalty.
Ball hit arm.
Exactly.
Like, that's what a penalty... Like, look, we can talk about maybe changing the rule, blah, blah, blah. That's been the rule since there's been a rule, right? Certainly this year. But, like...
They've tried a lot of things to change these rules and stuff. And honestly, I couldn't give it. I'm even glad that Spurs won it in that manner, just to get those crybabies across the road who fucked up against Newcastle crying. I'm glad that it happened like that. Oh, Spurs getting it. They were riding their luck, because nobody was saying that when we had a penalty given against us with Man City in the Champions League 3 years ago. Danny Rose slides to try and tackle the ball. There's nowhere else he can put his arm, but they give a penalty. Yeah?
Yeah.
Sadio Mane tries to dink a ball into the box, and it hits his arm, even though he's not trying to block the ball, they give a penalty. Eric Dier last season, Newcastle were rubbish for the entire game, and he jumps for a header, and the ball rolls onto his arm. They get a jammy penalty, and they score. And then... the season before that, under Jose Mourinho, the ball gets blocked. Lucas Moura has been fouled. He's on the floor. And a Sheffield United player blasts the ball. It hits his hand and bounces off him. Rebounds to Kane. Kane scores. And we get the goal disallowed. Why? Because of handball. And I didn't hear any of those fucking fans, opposition fans, bitching and moaning when it went against us. So I don't want to hear any complaints now when it works in our favour.
And that's the thing. It's a neutral rule, right? If it's applied evenly, it's a neutral rule. It's not a good rule or a bad rule. It's neutral, and you can't get mad when it goes against Burnley, when it's gone against Spurs, I mean, every single time you've mentioned, you know, but I always go back to the Sissoko one, right? Because that was such a painful event. And you watch that and you don't tell me that Spurs benefit from handball rules when we have the Champions League final, you know, in our back pocket. Like, we don't benefit from this. But you know what? A goal was coming. Like, look, you cannot watch that game, Spurs against Burnley, and say that Spurs didn't deserve to win and didn't deserve to win by two, right? Fact. We underperformed. We underperformed XG. We underperformed our shot ability. Sonny probably should have had two. You know, it's and Kane gets one. Fine. I'm a little bit annoyed that Sonny didn't score because I really want him to get that golden boot.
Like, I hope so.
I mean, Salah being out has really hurt my fantasy football team, but good for the golden boot.
Yeah, you know what? I like Mo Salah, but you know what? Hold that, man. Fuck you. I want you to not play this weekend, and I want us to win, and I want Son to get his golden boot, man, just to shut people up. Because listen, Son gets a lot of criticisms, and at times it's warranted because his dips in form are unacceptable. But I'm just loving seeing how people can somehow try and twist and change the narrative now that the player who they shat on and said is nowhere near Salah is one goal off Mo Salah for the season. Yeah, one goal off Mo Salah for the season, I think, correct me if I, and three assists less than Mo Salah for the season. So
yep.
we'll see what the narrative is, because this is his first season on 20 plus goals. But anyway, enough about Burnley. Let's talk about them arseholes across the road quickly, because one of the advantages of us playing earlier was that we had the opportunity to actually put some pressure on Arsenal and go into fourth spot temporarily. And I remember a certain fella from Touchy Gooners, Yemi, who plays for Touchline, 11-a-side team. After we beat Arsenal in Northland Derby, he said, "Why are you celebrating? You're still fifth." Well, Spurs beat Burnley and Spurs went into the top four. And I kept asking him, "Yemi, where are Spurs? Where are Spurs?" He didn't want to answer me. I was leaving. I was at the airport watching that game. I don't have Sky Sports anymore. But what I did, you know what I did? Because I was going to be at the airport before my flight, I paid £5 on the day for a Now TV Daily Pass. I made sure to watch that game because I knew they were not going to win that match. I didn't expect a loss, but I knew they weren't going to win. Full time.
I'll say this. I had work to do that day. And I have two screens in my office, you know. I kept that up. I watched that entire game.
They should have been smoked. They should have been smoked. They got slapped silly. And of course, in typical fashion, the excuses came out. There was no excuses to be had after that game. And I don't want to elaborate too much on their failures, but I want to talk about Spurs. We can trust me. Next week's episode is going to be a blockbuster episode. We've discussed it. I'll fill you in. It's going to be a blockbuster episode, brother. But let's get the result first against Norwich. But the benefit of that pathetic performance from Arsenal is that now Spurs are in fourth with a two-game advantage. And them losing, not even drawing, them losing means that we only need a point. We only need 1 point to seal Champions League qualification against Norwich. What are your thoughts heading into this game? Because I know you touched on it. You said the do your job thing as well. But a lot of people, again, see Spurs in an advantage. And I'll say in this whole, oh, Spurs, don't get your hopes up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What do you have to say to that type of thinking ahead of this weekend?
This is what you want. This is what you want. This is all you want as a fan. And this is all you want as someone who supports a club or supports a team in any sport, which is on the last day of the season, go out and win. Go out and get what you deserve. So what I would say to every fan who says, don't get your hopes up, go cry, man. Don't watch sports. Like, the point of sports is to get up for this. It's to talk shit to your friends who are in fifth or seventh or eighth. I have a friend who's a Leicester fan. I've been talking shit to him, although he's a very nice guy. It's like not easy to talk shit to him because he really is like very nice. But anyways, if you're sitting there like a Chicken Little, I don't know if that is a thing in England, but in America, like this concept of a Chicken Little, just waiting for the sky to fall. Enjoy it, man. Enjoy that you are about to go to the worst team in the Premier League, and all you need is a draw. All you need is a draw, right? And I don't even have like the secondary bullshit of needing to like want Josh Sargent to play well because he plays for Norwich.
I knew you were going to bring up that bum's name. I just knew you were going to bring up his name.
Josh Sargent. I mean, look, he's a good kid. He's a good kid. Well, he's going to put 25 in the championship because that's his level. He's not a Premier League player, but he's going to put 25 in the championship, like Tim Ream or whatever. But anyways, the point is that for any Spurs fan who's out there, who's like, I don't want to get my hopes up. I've been here too many times, blah, blah, blah. You think Man City fans, however many of them, there's like 12 of them total. But you think Barcelona fans think that? You think Madrid fans think that? You think Munich fans think that? It's time to be a big club. It is time to be a big club. This is what big clubs do. You play for things that matter. And now it's time. And if Spurs are a big club, a European Super League club, then it's time to take care of business when you need to take care of business. We're not underdogs. Yeah. It's not underdog land. It's a big club. Go impose your will. Win. That's what I have to say.
I love it. I think with Spurs fans, we're scarred. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Scarred with memory. We're scarred with memories of the past. But I just think people just need to apply context. Like, when it wasn't in our hands, all we wanted was to desperately get it back into our hands. Wait for them to slip up. What's happened is they've slipped up and we've put it back into our hands. Why are you fretting, moaning? You've seen this team do the most difficult task was to get it back into our hands. That was the To go to Anfield and get a point, to then go and beat them and beat them well and not concede, and then for them to lose to Newcastle, yeah? That was the most difficult part of this. It's now in our hands.
Anybody who's played sports can tell you the hardest part is not holding a lead. It's climbing the mountain to get the lead. That's the hard part. The hard part is getting the lead. We have the lead. Now just don't screw it up. And look, I'm not saying that Spurs can't screw this up. I mean, look, Norwich have 11 Premier League players by definition, right? I think it's very clear. It's very easy, right? Go out and do the job. And look, and if Frank Lampard and Everton can do us a favor, that would be real funny. Like, I think that would be a very funny outcome to this, is that if Spurs lose, but so do Arsenal, that would be my favorite outcome.
I don't even want to think.
The abject misery of Arsenal fans watching their team lose when they know that they could have done it, that might be worth it. But I would rather just Spurs take care of business.
Nah, honestly, I don't even care. I want us to win and bury Norwich in the dirt and just see them say, you know absolutely. What, fuck you. You won and it wasn't gonna change a damn thing. That's what I want to see.
But tell me you wouldn't love a Dele Alli hat trick.
No, I would love an Alli hat trick, but not at the expense of us losing. I want us to win. I can't even lie to you.
How about both?
Yeah, I want to win. I want us to win, and I want them to lose. I just don't want us to lose. And the reason why I brought up this point is because you've heard all this scaremongering. Harry Kane's got a virus. Oh, it's Lasagna Gate all over again. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. Stop fretting. We had three players out with illnesses last week, and two out of three played. Harry Kane is not going to miss this game. This is a guy who plays football with half broken ankles. Yeah. You think he's going to miss this opportunity to stat pan against Norwich and to seal Champions League qualification? Never going to happen in a million years. And even if Harry Kane wasn't playing, it is Norwich. And I don't say that to underestimate the fact that we need to win a Premier League game. I say that to say they are the worst team in the league. If Spurs can't beat Norwich with a half-baked Harry Kane, then we don't deserve Champions League football. Simple as that.
If Steven Bergwijn can't go out there and do the job, then we don't deserve to be in the top four. It's as simple as that. You know, if people are sick, it's 90 minutes. Drink some Gatorade. You'll be fine. take some Tylenol. I'm sick right now, and I'm here. I'm here doing the job. Doing the job. Go do the job. It's like it's almost reductive, right? Like we sit here and we want to analyze things and we want to talk about, well, you know, like we've gone through this entire episode. We've gone through almost 40 minutes and I haven't mentioned the name Emerson Royale, right? I haven't mentioned the name Højbjerg, right? You're talking about two players who need to play some manner of job in this game. And I haven't mentioned them because it's not worth it, right? If we were going to analyze this game against an equal, against a team that could do the job, then you know, fine. But it doesn't even matter. You can put out a very weak lineup there, and it's still Norwich. So you know, look, if we get to a point where we need to, you know, play with backups, doesn't matter. Go do the job.
And I just want to say before we sign out on this, I just want to say a big fuck you to Gary Lineker as well. I don't even like Gary, but what he did today, scaremongering nonsense. Yeah, what he did today, fuck you, and rest in piss, you little bitch, man. I don't know why he did that. I don't know why he's doing that. What jokes, what retweets must you need that you have to spew out such nonsense? And to the fans who are lapping it up and crying and bitching and moaning, get a grip. Get a bloody grip of all teams for you to be losing your nut over. Norwich.
Norwich.
Fucking Norwich.
Not even full strength Norwich. They've got injuries.
Oh my gosh. Oh my days. Anyway, listen, I don't want to keep us here for too long. Listen, Nippon, I've not missed your super chat, bro. Sorry, you've just been talking and your question sort of disrupted the flow. What would our Nippon ask? What would your ideal summer signings be? I don't think we've got enough time to discuss that right now, Nippon, but thank you for the super chat. You know what, Asa, you can answer.
Mine is Weston McKennie because screw you. Bringing an American.
You know what? I don't even dislike Weston, but just because he's American and a basic Betty. Fuck you. No. I don't want Weston McKennie at my club. No.
USA.
Listen, anyway, Asa, it's been good having you on, man. Before we end this, I want you to give me your score prediction. How is this game going to go this weekend?
4-0. 4-0. 2 from Kane, 2 from Sonny. It's never going to be close. It is going to be a triumph. This is going to be a bloodbath because they're not going to take their feet off they're not going to take their foot off the pedal.
Yeah. Okay. Fair play. I'm going for 3-0. I think we'll beat them. Comfortably, in my opinion. And I think I see some goals in it for Kane. I see some goals in it for Son as well. Listen, people, it's a short one today, but that's all we have time for. Thank you for tuning in. If you're listening, Gary Lineker, rest in piss, you little bitch. If you're listening, Touchy Gooners, rest in piss. See you on Sunday, yeah? If you're listening to the rest of the Touchline community, make sure you subscribe to all our socials, Touchline Fracker or Frackers on Instagram and YouTube and Twitter. New Spurs Order on Instagram and Twitter as well. We will be back. Look out for next week's episode. It's due to be a doozy, yeah? Asa believes we're getting top four. I believe we're getting top four. Spurs, like Asa said, go and do your job and bring this shit home. We don't even need to win, but I want us to win, and I just want us to send a message. Get the job done. This is New Spurs Order. This is Goldberg. This is Asa. We're signing out. Take care. Peace out. And up the Spurs.
On debut, Tunde Ondombele has scored the equaliser for Spurs.
Lucas Moura clips it.
Oh, great goal! Stephen Bergwijn has arrived in North London! That is absolutely incredible on debut! Aurier!
Sports Social Podcast Network.